Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for this privilege. We thank you for worship. We thank you for the praise, glory, and honor that you rightfully deserve. God, we pray that everything that has been offered is a sweet smell in the aroma in your nostrils. We pray, God, that it has been received as it is a gift unto you. We thank you, God, for Jesus Christ afresh. We have gathered on this glorious Christmas morning to honor and to celebrate him whose arrival means many things to all of us, but salvation is chief and foremost. We thank you, God, that you chose to wrap yourself in humanity. We ask and pray, God, that you would extract out of this vessel everything that's ordained for your glory in this day. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're glad to be here, touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm glad to be here. Amen. And don't forget about the one on the other side and touch them to and say, I'm glad to be here. Now, some of you will probably say, I don't intend to stay here all day, but I'm glad to be here right now. Amen. Amen. But certainly it is a blessing to be able to stand before you and to proclaim what is not new to any of us in this room. Perhaps it may be to someone, but for most of us, it's not anything that's new. But we do celebrate afresh. Every time we hear it, it ought to churn something and excite something in our spirit when we hear about our Savior, and especially his entrance into the world, into the place where our misery resides. Many times God has come into that place and has healed us from every manner of infirmity. Amen. To the great staff of this great church and to all of you, the Father's children, it's indeed a blessing to be here on this great Christmas morning. Amen. Amen. I want to go ahead now and call your attention to the Gospel of Luke, the 3rd chapter. Brother Braden was almost here earlier. Luke, the 3rd chapter. We're going to look at verses 3 through 6 very quickly. From the King James Version, you find these words. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. You may be seated. I want to go back and read that verse 5 again. There's a lot of stuff packed in that 5th verse. Every valley shall be filled. Let that marinate. And every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight. And the rough ways made plain. I want to talk on this glorious day from this particular thought. What is it about this baby? What is it about this baby? You know, we have babies and people make a big deal about the baby, and they come and they get in the baby's face and they, you know, goo goo gaga, and they are picking at your baby. And they talk about, you know, how the baby looks and all those things, and there's a big fuss made about babies. And sometimes people can get so frustrated in dealing with seeing people all in a baby's face and say, what is it about that baby that's so special that everybody that passes has to get in that baby's face and tickle that baby and look at that smile coming from the baby's face? After all, when you think about that baby, it has to depend upon somebody to change its diaper. It has to depend upon somebody to put a bottle in its mouth with something in the bottle. It has to depend on somebody to pick it up, cannot walk anywhere by itself. It cannot talk. It cannot even express anything other than a cry that must be interpreted by its parents. So what is the big deal about this baby? What is it that this baby is able to do? It's not able to do a whole lot. It has to really have someone do everything for it. Well, when you think about your baby, for some of us in this room, regardless of if that baby could not talk, walk, or do anything for itself, that baby changed your life. That baby changed your life, not only your life, but your spouse's life, your relationship. Some people, the baby kept your marriage together until the Lord could save it and bring it back in unison. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. Some of us, the baby stopped you from partying, brought you home at night, and put the alcohol bottle aside because you had a baby. It made you work harder. You couldn't wait to get home to see the smile on that baby's face. The baby brought fun, joy, and excitement every day of your life. But in the midst of that baby that you've had, there was this aspect of the unknown. See, what it really is that you don't always know who it is that you have given birth to. Somebody in this room has given birth to a doctor or a pediatrician that may be the one who gives us the cure for cancer. Somebody in this room has given birth perhaps to a great chef, one who is able to make great meals and make people smile. Somebody in this room may have given birth to a construction engineer, a preacher, a pastor, a deacon, or even a great athlete. Somebody has given birth to that baby. You just don't know it yet. The conditions and challenges maybe around the conception and birth were not ideal when you had that baby, but the baby did come through. And whether you realize it or not, the fact that it is here, it's like Jeremiah, the Bible says that before he knew us, we knew the baby, God had a purpose for the baby's life. I'm going somewhere with this. You don't know who it is that you are raising. So let me help you, parent. Be careful of how you label and tag what God has allowed you to bring forth in the earth. Because in a baby, one day it will grow up and it will enter the purpose that it was created for. And I'll tell you today that there is greatness that has already been birthed in this room. If you believe that, you ought to just celebrate that as well. That your baby gonna be great. Isn't that baby? But let me just also tell you this as we shift now, that there has not been any greater baby born in the history of humanity than that baby that was born in an inauspicious way, in an insignificant place, in a manger in Bethlehem of Judea. That there's not been any greater baby that came in than the one who was eternal in existence and transcends time, that was willing to wrap himself in the cradle of our humanity and come in the form of a man, humble and lower himself there in that manger. And then he confines himself to the same things that we are confined to: time, space, and matter. And then not only that, in his lifetime would lead and introduce a revolution with eternal and everlasting effects. This baby was coming, was heavily prophesied. And here now as we enter Luke chapter 3 is now beginning to be highly publicized. This baby, and Luke writes concerning him. And I'm going to give you three things that Luke does and gives us out of this text concerning this baby. First thing you notice when you look at this text is that there is preparation through proclamation. The Bible says in verse 2, it says that the word of God came to John. Now, what's interesting of who it comes to, it does not come to the priest in the temple, but it comes to one who had been filled with the Spirit of God. God was getting ready to do something new in the earth.
And he comes to this man, this wild man by the name of John. And John was not sitting behind some temple and in closed doors. John was out in the wilderness. And the Bible says that the word came unto him where he was in the wilderness. And John gets up. And he goes throughout the countryside. Everywhere there was people, John went, and he began to proclaim and open his mouth concerning this one who was coming, and he preaches the entrance of God in humanity. John comes, goes throughout the region of Jordan with a specific message, proclaiming baptism toward repentance and forgiveness of sin. John comes with this message that is both unique and peculiar because it has never been preached before. They had the message concerning the Messiah's coming, but here John comes and introduces why it's necessary. His message and his voice were the fulfillment of prophecy. It says, make the way plain for the coming of the Lord. A few weeks ago, we started our children. They were talking about Advent, and many of us, as adults, we really don't even know what that means. That really simply just suggests to us that God is choosing to come near us. I said this morning that when other people are going away from you, God is saying, I'll come near you. That's what the message that John is proclaiming has so much power and relevance for us, is that when things seemingly are disappearing out of our sight and diminishing, God says, I'm drawing near to you. He comes and turns the hearts of the people and the minds of the people toward what was to come as a mandate. No house can be built without a foundation. Am I right, Brother Matt? And before you lay a foundation, somebody's got to dig up some dirt. They got to clear out some ground. They got to move some things around. But if you're wondering what's going on, all you have to do is walk by or drive by a construction site. You begin to see things happening in a different fashion, a different form, and things begin to move here and move there. And that's how it was when John comes on the scene. John is moving things and shaking things and putting things in the mind of God's people that the time has finally arrived, that everything you've been waiting on is about to come near. Can you imagine how it would feel if everything you've been praying for was finally about to be in your possession? Here it is, preparation by proclamation. But then secondly, we see that his presence brings his promises. Verse 5, he says something to us, that God's presence in the flesh, God incarnate, conquers the fourfold impact of sin in a fallen world. How do you say so, Pastor? Well, first of all, he reveals to us that when this baby comes on the scene, the arrival of Jesus in that manger would cure man's dilemma and man's depression, that would alleviate his depraved state and condemnation towards sin. How does he do it? The first thing he says is that he will bring the low places and make them high. What does that say to us? Every valley shall be filled. You ever had any gaps in your life? Well, there were things that were missing, regardless of how hard you worked, how long you stayed at work. You could not close that gap. You could not raise things to a level of where they were sufficient. And so what he says, first of all, is that Christ's coming makes us satisfied. Y'all must not be satisfied with him. Everything that's lacking in your life, he levels it off and brings it up to a place where there's no longer lacking and there's no longer a gap there. He fills that space. Your heart has been broken. He raises that valley. Every low, depressing place in your life has now been filled, and you're no longer depressed. Yeah, I've got some struggles, I've got some trials, but my mind and my spirit are strong because I've got some infused joy. I've got one that reminds me that it won't always be like this. I wish I had some help. That 2017 is going to be better than 2016 because he's filling every valley. And you may look at my life and you may say, there's a gap, there's a hole, there's a room right there. But I promise you this, he's not done working on me. And I'm not the only one he's still working on. And he's working on you and you and you. And if you are patient, he's going to fill every valley. Thank God. Andre Crouch said, if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve it. And if there's anybody in here that's ever been sick, you would not know God's power to heal unless you had been in that valley of sickness. Unless you've ever been depressed, you would not know that God can fill you. Thank God for that passage in Hebrews where he says that we don't have a high priest that's sitting over yonder, but he is able to be touched, and he fills us not in our strengths, but in our weakness and infirmity. And then he tells us that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy and help in our time of need. What am I saying to you? If you got some valleys, you ought to celebrate, because he's filling valleys. But not only does he make your low places high, he has the power to bring down what has exalted itself. Oh, I wish I had some help in here today. He says that what is high is been able to be brought low. Anybody got some obstacles and some mountains in your life that you feel you cannot navigate, you cannot cross, you cannot get over and beyond, you can't get past because it continues to rise up? Well, let me tell you today, he has the power to knock down some stuff. Don't you know there's a testimony when Jesus was crucified on the cross? The Bible says that the veil in the temple was torn down. It was split in half to remind us and reveal to us that what seemed to be off limits has now been made available to us. Brings down those high places. He says that everything, and not just in your life, but there are things that have exalted themselves against the righteousness of God. Sin has exalted itself against the righteousness of God. Sometimes government exalts itself against the righteousness of God. Principalities and demonic influence exalts itself against the righteousness of God. But oh, just keep on waiting, because he ultimately is going to bring everything that's high down. Now let me help somebody that's here today. Maybe sometimes we get lifted up in pride. Here is where he really attacks us with our self-reliance and our independence. We live in a society where everybody want to be independent. Do your own thing, have your own thing, and go your own way. But let me tell you, he says to us, he says very clearly to us, he says that every mountain, every hill shall be brought low. If you think that you're going to make it in this life exclusive from God, you're not going to be able to do it. He ultimately is going to break us down so that we're able to see what he has for us and able to see him clearly. Thank God, because in the book of Isaiah, he says to us, Isaiah says that in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Let me tell you that God has to bring some stuff down so that you can see him behind the stuff. Sometimes stuff can get in the way. Somebody's toys are in the way today. Can't wait to get back home and you're ready to get past Christ and get back to my stuff. But God has a way of moving the stuff and lowering it down so that you can look beyond that stuff and see Christ. So while you may reject the trouble that's in your life, you don't need to reject it, because perhaps God is using that stuff to bring you to where he is. Every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And then not only does he say that, he says this, he says that every crooked place, every crooked road shall be made straight. He not only has power to bring up the depressed parts and bring down the prideful stuff, he has the power to correct those things that are in chaos right now. It looks like in America, because we had an election over a month ago, but there's still chaos, there's still derision, there's still division, there's still a lot of folk upset and wondering and scared and in a place of chaos. But here he says that when Christ comes on the scene, he's able to restore order. And I don't know about you, but I know that there are some things that get out of order in all of our lives. And he is able to bring those things back under arrest. And I thank God, because not only does this mean just for us, but we got an enemy called Satan. Now here it is. It's interesting that he says in John 10:10 that the thief, you have a thief, you got an enemy, comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Peter says he goes around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. That means he want to drink you down. There's not a drop left. You got all of that chaos that's reigning in your life, and you got that rascal Satan trying to do everything he can to turn you back. But you read that verse, he says, but I have come that they might have life and have life more abundantly. What that means for us is that while that rascal thinks he's doing a whole lot of stuff, he has a leash on him that he can only go so far. And that crooked stuff he's trying to perpetrate in your life, God will only let him go so far, and he knows how to rein him back in. Says to us, the crooked shall be made straight. He corrects what is out of order. But not only that, from a personal perspective, there was this thing called sin that I wrestle with in my life. And not only me, but for all of us in humanity, we had a problem that we could not solve. We could not pay our way out of it. We could not think our way through it. We could not befriend our way out of it. We were stuck in that place. We were destined, because of that crooked road, to meet hell and eternal damnation. But the arrival of Jesus Christ on the scene, he corrected our path and put us on the path of righteousness for his own name's sake. I tell you, every crooked place shall be made straight. And then he says this, that the rough places shall be made smooth. You ever driven on a rough road? It's a difficult terrain. There are potholes, there are dangerous thing that could take place and damage your vehicle on a rough road. And what he says to us, that there are times in our lives where we must go through some rough patches. We must endure some tough moments. Somebody, even as you're sitting here now, you're reflecting on a relationship with some loved one that's no longer here on Christmas Day. It makes you sad. It makes you grieve. It gives you a spirit of sadness and sorrow. But here's what he wants you to know, is that simply being with Jesus makes things a little sweeter. Someone wrote a song, "He's Sweet, I Know." And what they really were saying is that when life gets bitter, when we want to spit out the things of life from our mouth spiritually, he said that he is able to be the sugar that goes in all of that bitterness, that you're able to endure and to hang on by faith. I wish I had some help in here. And many of us right now are in a rough place, if we were to be honest. But can I tell you that he's making things smooth? And what John was saying to them was that with his arrival, wherever his presence is, there is also his promise. You need to believe today that there is a promise from the Lord. We see in this text there is the preparation through proclamation. There is a presence that brings promises. But then lastly, he is presented to all persons. Verse 6 says, and all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. This gracious gift of God, which brings salvation, has now appeared to all men. Titus 2:11 tells us that God has allowed him not to be born in a corner, but he was born openly in that manger. I believe that God chose him to be born in a manger in a field so that there would be no confusion about the Son of God, that he would not be hidden from anybody that wanted to find him. There he was. He was not in some room secluded with a few people, but before anybody that wanted to pass through that way. Luke says that all salvation would see, all flesh would see the salvation of God. Don't you know when you see Jesus in that manger, even as a baby, he was the plan of salvation. He was God's gift to us to redeem us from our sins. I thank God that he was openly seen. The prophecy was fulfilled that when he comes on the scene, that he would be openly observed by all who came near him. But then not only was he openly seen, he was positively identified. For in John 1:29, they just told us, now behold the Lamb which comes to take away the sins of the world. Not only was he openly seen and positively identified, but it was a purpose process. Don't you know this baby had the assignment to live and to move among men and women, but ultimately wind up on Calvary's cross and to be there without sin and to die in our place and for our sin. He went all the way to Calvary and endured the cross. But not only do we see him seen and identified, do we see the process, but we see that it was initiated by God the Father. For in John 3:16, it tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, it doesn't matter where you came from, doesn't matter who your relatives are, doesn't matter who or what you did in your past, but whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I thank God that we don't have an excuse today. For all of us have seen the glory of the Father. When we see Jesus in the baby, we see a baby that looked helpless. But when the baby grew up, he finished his course. And his purpose was to save us. I thank God that they sung the song, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Well, can I ask y'all a question? What will you leave here running to tell? Will you tell somebody about the jewelry that you got under the tree? Or the clothes that you wore to church? Or the car that's sitting in the driveway? Or the house that you live in? Or the bed you slept in? Or will you open your mouth and tell them, I got all of that stuff there, but the real gift was not under a tree, but the real gift was in a manger in Bethlehem of Judea. I don't know about you, but I thank God that he came down for us. What the cross was and what the manger was not we getting to God, because we never get there, but it was God saying, since you can't come to me, I'm coming to where you are. You know, Hallmark says we care enough to send the very best. Well, don't you know that in that manger was God sending the very best? And not only that, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he interacted with those who were hurting on his way to Calvary's cross. He died there on the
cross. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. But I thank God that early Sunday morning, he got out of the grave with all power. I thank God there was something about this baby that changed my course and my destiny. Anybody glad today that this baby came in your life? You're glad that he came in the world? Anybody glad about this baby? Yeah, come on and help me close this thing. We ought to celebrate that Jesus came into the world and changed our life. Anybody glad? I said, anybody glad? Anybody glad you got Jesus? Anybody glad you know who Jesus is? This baby that was born in a manger, his mother Mary, Joseph was his earthly father, but I thank God that his origin was of divine nature, and he came to us, and he lived before us, and he died for us. And in one of these days, that baby that died on the cross, he's coming back for us to carry us home. Don't you know it's time to celebrate? Why don't you hug somebody and tell them, neighbor, I'm thankful today that Jesus is my Savior. He is my Savior. He is our Savior. What is it about this baby? I'll tell you what it is. In him was the fullness of the Godhead. When you see Jesus, you see the essence of the internal character of God on open display. You see the perfection, the excellence, the moral attributes of God in a man who was both God and humanity at the same time. We celebrate. Listen, don't let the world celebrate louder than we are. This morning when I got up, I was getting dressed, and I turned on the television, and there was a showing in Chicago, Illinois, of all of the hip-hop, R&B musicians and groups, and they were dancing, they were singing, they were celebrating Christmas, but there was no mention of Jesus. And what it revealed to me was that we have let the world dictate to the Christian how we should operate on this day. They're hollering and shouting louder than we are. Do you hear what I'm saying? When God has given us the gift to share with the world. But when our mouths are closed, our hearts will be empty. We don't have anything to give because we don't have much that we possess. But when your heart is overflowing with the joy of Christ in your life, you will be running to share that message with the world. Somebody in your circle needs to hear that Christ has come. Joy to the world, for he has come to us. The invitation is extended right now. We offer Christ to you. We stand in this place. Why don't you come? Maybe you're in need of special prayer. Maybe you're sick in your body. You need to be healed.